you'll look in your bulletin, you'll see a green insert. It's called Sharing One's Faith in the Midst of Persecution. Please take that out. Last Sunday, we talked about partnering in mission, and we have the privilege of partnering with 50-plus missionaries that are impacting the world for Christ. And one of those that is one of our new missionaries is Dan Juma and Veronica Gumbo. And I want to ask them both to stand up. And let me tell you a little bit about these precious people. They are from Nigeria. They're missionaries with Wycliffe Bible Translators. They've been at it for 15-plus years, and they're seeing their nation transformed as the scriptures are translated. Don Lindholm was our missionary with Wycliffe for many, many years. When he retired, he recommended they become his replacement. So we're so grateful to have them here. Every time you give a dollar to Cherrydale, approximately 25 cents goes to missions because we're a give-it-away church. And so it's our joy today to have Dan Juma come and give the Word of God to us. Please welcome him.
It's a pleasure for me to really be in your midst this morning to share the Word of God with you. And I really count it a privilege because I believe strongly that if anything worth doing, it should be done well. And we really thank God for the opportunity He has given us to be involved in the ministry of translating the Word of God for people. In Nigeria, normally when we're given an opportunity to preach, maybe 25 minutes will just be introduction. But you have given me only 25 minutes to share with you, so I'll go straight to the Word of God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll read the first 12 verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll read the first 12 verses. And I'm reading from the American Standard Bible. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So, death works in us, but life in you. This is the message that Paul had to share and to encourage the Corinthians with. And in our topic this morning, we are thinking about sharing our faith with those who are against us. Sharing our faith with those who do not like us. Those who do not see things the same way as we see. So sharing one's faith in the midst of persecution. I want to talk about what is the basis for sharing one's faith. What is the basis you and I have for sharing our faith? Why do we think our faith is more important than the faith of others? And why do we have to share ours? I believe the number one basis for sharing my faith, my belief, my trust with somebody else is the fact that it is a God-given task. If you can forget any other thing that I will say, please bear in mind that the task of sharing your faith, your trust, your belief with anybody else is the fact that it's a God-given task. It's not something that you do out of your own volition. It's not something that you do out of your own choice, but it is that the fact that God has given you. It's not originated by man, but it's something that God himself has given us to do. And so it's not dependent on whether the people respond or they don't respond. How they respond, it's not our problem. The problem is that God has given you and I a task to share what we believe with others. And in doing that, we are obedient to the Master. We are doing what God has asked us, the great creator, the one who made you and I. When you think about 6 billion people on earth, all of us are different. Is God not great? When you look at the creation, look at the mighty things that God has created around us, the plants, the animals, they are all beautifully made. God is the one who made them. God brought us and has given us this task. What a privilege to be involved. And why? Because God knows that the right thing he wants for everybody is to come to that fellowship with him. From every tribe, from every tongue, from every nation, that they will come to know him as their Lord. This is the call of God for you and I. So it's immaterial whether the people respond or not, but that we are obeying the task of our Master. And if it is God who has given us that task, then what do we do? What is it? What is really sharing one's faith with others? It is appealing to a person's heart condition. It is presenting a new way of life. We are agreeing that what we have is better. So we're appealing to the conscience, to the life of this person that, look, you need to make a turn. You need to make a change in your own way of life, your way, the conduct that you have, to come to God who has created you. That this is the path. You are to make an about turn from the way you are living. And how can you do this? If sharing one's faith is appealing to the conscience of somebody, it is actually attacking the realm of the evil one. Just like from our text, we are told that the gospel is hidden to those who have allowed the evil one to blind them, to hide it from them. They don't see the power that is in the gospel. Their eyes are blind. They are, they cannot see. They are veiled. They can't see and hear the word of God. And so it is a responsibility for us, challenging them and asking them to make a change in the way the person has been living. It is actually a process, not an event. You see, the early missionaries, I'm from Nigeria, the early missionaries brought the gospel. They brought the gospel to us. Our parents received it. Not all of our parents received the gospel. Those who didn't receive, but they heard the word of God. We have received the word of God in our own generation. And we are living the Christian life. But these people who did not receive in the first place are still having opportunity to hear the word of God today. And they will continue to hear the word of God until they come to the knowledge of God. So it is a process. It is not a one-time approach when you begin to share your faith with someone. Don't think that when you have shared once, the person will accept. No, it takes some time. It's a process. You find some people planting, some people watering, and then some people reaping, some people preparing the food. And that is why Paul thinks about himself and Apollos and all these other people involved, the ministers of God, that we are involved in a process where we continue to share the word of God with one another. So it's a process. Who is to do it? Who is really to share his faith with one another? First of all, this person must be convinced of his own way of life. If you really don't know why you are a Christian, don't go to share your faith with others. Don't. You have to be deeply convicted. You know that you are right. You know that this is the right way to God. This is the right way of worship. This is the right way of fellowship, communion with God. Then you go ahead. Because you will find challenges. And of course, the evil one will not be happy with you. The evil one will certainly not be happy with you. So if you are going to share your faith with others, you must know your faith, the basis, the rock of your own salvation. And when you know this very well, then you can go out to share with others. And remember that these people you're sharing with have their own set of beliefs. And it's important that you also understand them. You need to know them. You need to understand them. So that you can have a basis under which you can now talk. All right? Because if you don't understand him, you don't know where to start. And you don't start where you have differences. Start on common grounds, where you are. The common ground, what you all believe. If I'm sharing my faith with a Muslim, I don't go to start begin talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because already I've hit a rock. That is where he will not. But when I begin to talk about the prophets, aha, talk about Abraham, he loves it because they all believe, they think about Abraham as the father of faith. They do. So you know them. If you are talking to a Mormon or whoever you are talking with, you need to know that person. So knowing your own faith, being convinced of your faith, you know the faith of the other person, then you are qualified to go on, to talk with the person. But above all, you must believe, you must know that you are not going in your own power. You really don't have the power to change anyone. You don't have the power. God has said, go and make disciples of all nations. And if you go, you make disciples of all nations, he said, before you do that, wait until you receive the power. It is his own task, and he is the one who is going to do it. But you are only just a vessel in doing that. So talking about who is to do it is one who is convinced of his own way of his life, and he knows the tenets and beliefs of the other person. But this person must be constrained by the love of God. That deep conviction that, look, you really want this person to change. You have this, just not emotional love, but a love that comes out of concern, out of conviction, out of the knowledge that anyone without Christ is lost. He who has Christ has life. He who has not Christ, has not the Son of God, has not life. So you are convinced of that. And that love, just like Paul says, the love of God constrains us, forces us to go and share the word of God with others. Otherwise, you really cannot. In terms of persecution, and as we think about in the situation in Nigeria, how do you think of sharing the gospel with somebody who comes, takes your father driving in his own car, put him inside the car, lock the car, pour petrol on the car, and set it ablaze? How do you share your love with that person? How do you share your love with somebody who comes or share your faith, wanting that person to be saved? When he comes, takes your wife, four sons, killing one after the other to your eyes. You know, one son after the other, killing them you are seeing, and then comes to kill you. How do you share your faith with that person? What kind of love? Is it natural? Certainly it's not. The natural human being will want a vengeance. And that is why you find in the prayer of David and also Nehemiah, he talks about, look, really, suffer them. Cause them to suffer. If you look at, let's look at Nehemiah or Psalm 79. In Psalm 79, verse 5, how long, O Lord, will thou be angry forever? Will thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the nations which do not know thee, and upon the kingdoms which do not call upon thy name. That is the prayer that David was praying, asking God to punish them. And in verse 12 he says, and return to our neighbors sevenfold into thy bosom the reproach with which they have reproached thee, O Lord. That is the natural man. Punish them. You know, I want you to revenge. Help me revenge. But the love of God says, vengeance is mine. It is not you. He turns it and says, vengeance is mine. And so it is the love of God that can make you to love such a person. Or somebody comes, I went to work, left my family very happily, and then I've gone home, and then to just come back and just hear there's an unrest in the village, and I rush back home and to find out that my wife, my children were all pushed into a room, locked, and the whole house set on fire. And you just see them roasted as if it is roasting a goat. It happened in our own country. How do you love such a person? It's not natural to think of sharing your faith with that person. But then, God is able to enable us to do it. So the conviction of the knowledge that, yes, it is not us, but it's God wanting to use us to draw these people, to open their eyes, to unveil them, to be able to understand his word, is something that is great we should think about. I know of a brother who is in a village 5 miles from my own village. And that was a religious unrest. And this man was just hospitalized and operated upon. He was just discharged from the hospital. He came home and on his sick bed inside his own house. And then the village was attacked. And the enemies came. They took him and cut him to pieces, you know, because he's an ex-serviceman and he has a gun with him. So they removed his gun quite all right, but then they killed him and cut him into pieces and threw him there. How do you begin to love such a person? I'm stressing this because how to share your faith with somebody who does not see you or in the midst of persecution is important to turn and say, Lord, I cannot do this. It is you, and you alone can help me do this. And God is able to enable us to do that. In the Nigerian situation, who are the enemies of the gospel? Those who are of different faith. We have the Muslims, the African traditional religion. Those who are not willing to let go of their political grip over others. They have oppressed these people, and they want to. How do you share your faith with people who really want to continue to dominate you and they don't want you to be free? Those who deny others justice. There's a lot of injustice. You find the poor continue to be poor and the rich are getting extremely rich. How do you share your faith with people who really suppress you and what belongs to you don't give you? The rich are extremely rich. And so how do you share? How should this be done? I'll quickly run through this. First, by recognizing and knowing that no one person can change another person. Paul recognized his unsuitability, his insufficiency, and the fact that he is frail, his frail nature. He says, look, when Christ, you know, in the glorious chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, when we talk about the resurrection, Christ was crucified, dead, buried, but he was raised from the dead. And after he was raised, he appeared to Peter, he appeared to the 12 disciples, and then he appeared to more than 500. And last of all, he appeared to me, one who is unworthy, one who persecuted the church. I'm not worthy, but he did. And he gave me this ministry of reconciliation. Oh, what a grace that God has given me. What an opportunity. What an unmerited favor that God has given me to share this gospel with him, with others, so that they can come and begin to, you know, when you have Christ, honestly, I think many of times we don't even know and understand what we have. Because if we do understand the fellowship, the communion, the relationship we have with God, and to be able to call him as Father, is something we should rejoice over. Because we can turn to him at any point in time. Whether in the night, whether in the morning, whether in the evening, whether lying down or standing or walking or driving, you can turn to him. Here is a God who is open and he wants you to come to him. And this is the only thing you have that is something worthy of living for. The Bible talks about godliness with contentment is great gain. And I want to assure you, the rich continue to be rich, but they are never satisfied. Billionaires, have you ever heard them being satisfied? They're not. Those in authority, they continue to want to continue to rule. They don't want to give up. But the Bible tells us that the law of getting is giving. And because God wanted to get more sons, just like from the song we sang, sons from all nations, from all tongues and countries, he decided to give. He gave his only begotten son that he can get many more sons, giving one in order to have many more. And so we must realize that this is in the power of God. We can only witness in the power of God because he is the one who has the ability and the knowledge to be able to change anybody at all. So Paul saw how weak and how he couldn't. We should be able to do this, share our faith by total dependence on God. He is the only one, it is his own task, and he's the only one who can give us the knowledge to be able to do it. Total dependence for enablement in order to be able to share the gospel. I've said, you see, in Zechariah 4 verse 6, he says, it is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. And that is why he was telling his apostles, remain in Jerusalem until when the Spirit, when the power has come upon you, then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. So you and I can only do that when we have that power, that enablement that makes us to even love our enemies, that gives us the wisdom to be able to share with them in the power of the Spirit. And when we share that, then he is able to walk out. You know, when you are witnessing, remember that you are really attacking the evil one. When the Bible talks about the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour, he is doing that because he knows that when people come to know the truth that sets them free, and they begin to worship God, he's losing grip over them. And so he's not going to leave you free. So when you want to go out to witness, be armed, be prepared. And how can you do that? Your armor is prayer. Prayer is so crucial in witnessing. It's so important because it is prayer that will unveil their eyes to see what God wants. It is the prayer that will, you know, break down the grip of the evil one over them. You know, Satan holds them so tight that he doesn't want to release them. But when you pray, you will break the bonds of the evil one. And this we have found it to be so true that even those who are involved in African traditional religion, their worship, their allegiance to God is so much. No wonder the Bible talks about, say, God is a jealous God. You see, people who are worshipping these idols, they are so obedient, so observant, that the complete allegiance is paid to the evil spirits and to the evil ones. Because they know the moment they make a mistake, they are in for it. They'll pay for it badly. Therefore, the total concentration, total commitment is what they do. But then, you have to be prayerful. You have to be very, very involved in praying that the God whom you are worshiping, whom you want to communicate his message, is behind you, giving you that wisdom to be able to communicate, using the right word at the right time, and then opening their eyes so that they can come into the glorious, accept the glorious gospel. Don't go out for witnessing. Please listen to me. Don't go out for witnessing if you have not taken time to pray. Don't go out. Because you are attacking the camp of the evil one, and he is not going to let you free. Bear that in mind. So prayer is very, very crucial. Let only the realization of what God has asked us to do be that which is our contentment. That God has asked us to go and share the gospel. Why? He knows that this is the way of salvation. Anyone outside Christ is doomed to suffer. And so God has given us, opened our eyes, given us the privilege. Let's go in his own power, in his own wisdom to do it. And you can only share this love of God with others when you truly have a genuine love that comes from the heart. And that love is only made possible with Christ, with God in you. It is only God. If not, look at David, for instance, for goodness sake. Why should Saul be running after David when David fought and brought glory to him? David, by defeating Goliath, was bringing glory to him. However, he was pursuing him from one cave to the other, from one mountain to the other. And even when David had the opportunity to destroy and kill Saul to become the king, he would not. He knew his God. He knew his God. Woe is me to lay my hands on the anointed of the Lord. He would not do that. Is it not just God that has made it possible? He couldn't have done it in his own power. He couldn't have. Why? Of course, he has been anointed. It has been predicted he will be the king. Well, perhaps he wants me to kill him to become king. No, God's time is the best. Let me wait upon God. So knowing your God, and just like the Bible says, those who know their God shall do exploits. Let's learn to study the scriptures. For us in Bible translation, we are convinced that if people can understand the word of God in the language they understand, I'm holding here the translation my wife and I were involved in. That is the Mumuye New Testament. We believe strongly that if people know and understand the word of God for their lives, their relationship with God will be enhanced. And in that way, they have the power to go out and witness. Because the Bible says, go and make disciples, not just making people to come to the church. Let it be people who are following the steps of Christ. Those who can read God's word for themselves. Persecution will come and will continue to come. But then those who have the word of God in a language they understand will remain. And if they are able to read it, blessed be the Lord. It's an additional thing. But even if they can't, let them be able to hear it on cassettes if the word is read in their own language, or view it over the films, the Jesus film, so that they can hear God's word. God wants us to give people opportunities to hear his word. It is my prayer and desire that the Lord will encourage you to know that the task is given to you by God. You can only do it by God's power. Just like you have been saved by grace, it is only grace that will take you through the journey. And I believe it is grace that saves us, heals us, and maintains us. And we need to remain focused on that basis. But you and I will be going into heaven empty-handed if we do not go out to share the good news. How can he tell you, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest, shake my hands? He cannot tell you that if you don't go to share the message. By not sharing your word with others, even those who hate you, you are disobeying God. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we just want to bless you, we worship you, we adore you. We want to thank you for the privilege of knowing you. We thank you because we are not worthy to be called by your name. But out of your own mercy, out of your own grace, you open our eyes to see Christ crucified. You open our eyes to see him raised from the dead. We want to thank you as we look and we hope for his return in glory, coming down with the angels, Lord, that we shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. Lord, we rejoice for this privilege. But we are sorry, Lord, we have not been doing what you have asked us to do. You have given us the responsibility to share your word with others. Help us to do it faithfully and to do it earnestly, trusting you to lead us to the end. This is our prayer with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.